from the dead. Imagine. All that had not happened before. He was in the grave. He was dead. And he was in the tomb for 3 days. And after 3 days, he arose. Oh, he did. And the first person that I want to see is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead. I want to see him in all of his power and all of his glory. And I want to hug on him. Oh, I really do. But this morning, I want to remind you that we serve, that we have a most unusual God. We really do. The Bible says there is none like Him. No, not even one. And if it was possible to look the world over, you wouldn't even come close to finding anyone like our God. And the most exciting thing is, to me, is God, His thoughts, His ways are different than my thoughts, than my ways. There are some here today, and He is not part of your thoughts. I don't need Him. I'm doing okay, and things are just fine. Well, they may seem just fine, but the truth really is, oh, you need Him. I need Him. We all need Him. And some of you today will walk out the door and you'll go about your way. Oh, I've done my duty. I've been to church. But I tell you what, His ways, His thoughts are not your ways, your thoughts. He's not my way or my thoughts. This morning, I want to begin by reading an old, familiar passage of Scripture. And then, we're going to see what that passage of Scripture is based upon. Turn to Isaiah number 55, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. Isaiah 55, verse 9. You know, Israel, I am convinced, wasn't thinking the way that Israel should have been thinking. And Israel certainly wasn't going the way that she should have been going. But here, the old prophet Isaiah tells us something about God. Something that all of us, I mean all of us, me too, need to fully understand. Because God is giving His people Israel, His chosen people Israel, He's giving them a lesson, and He's talking to them through Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Just back up a verse. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. All capitalized, saith Jehovah. And then in verse 9, as for the heavens are higher than the earth, and they really are, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I am reminded of a scripture in which God was talking to Israel. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether one like yourself, but I will judge thee. Oh, you think you're doing okay the way things are, okay? But I will judge thee. Your thoughts, your ways, they're not like mine. And then in verse 10, he continues, for as the rain cometh down, and I tell you what, it knows how to rain here, doesn't it? I've seen that old creek more full, more times than any time since I've ever been here, just this year. Every time it rains, that old booger, the water level comes up. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, aren't you glad that it doesn't snow here? I am. In fact, I don't even know what snow is, and I doubt you do either. And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be. Everything that God says will come to pass. I mean, the gospel told me plainly, I am born again. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is coming again. And he really is. And the Bible says in Hebrews, he that is coming will come shortly, and he will not tarry. He's not going to take his time. He's not going to tarry. He's not going to put it off. He's coming for those that believe. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Did you hear that? What God says will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And as I read these words, I am mindful of what Paul said in his letter to the Roman church in Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Can you imagine how much knowledge He has? He has all knowledge. He knows everything. He does. And He knows how to use that knowledge. He has all wisdom. You never see God. How in the world should I do that? He just does it. And it's always right. How unsearchable are His judgments. Oh, those without Christ, those, oh, listen, you cannot imagine the judgment of Almighty God. It's past finding out. In fact, Paul goes on to say, and His ways are past finding out. Don't we believe that? Surely we believe that, because our God is a sovereign God. He really is. And our God, He doesn't act like we do. Aren't you glad? He does not think like we do. Aren't you glad? Mm-hmm. But you know what? Having said that, God always, without exception, He always brings about His purpose. He always does. And our text is based, when I read to you Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 9 through verse 11, but that passage of Scripture is based, I'm convinced, on chapter 54. A chapter that has only 17 verses. But oh, a chapter that we can learn so much about God. And the exciting thing is, God does not change. He really doesn't. Listen to the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 8. Who wrote, Jesus Christ. And is not Jesus Christ God? And did not Jesus Christ make everything that was made? And without Him, nothing was made that was made? Yes. Everything was made by Him and for and through Him and for Him. Life, oh, life is but a vapor. It is here today and tomorrow it's gone. I can't tell you where the past 50 years has gone. I can't tell you. Oh, but I can remember the day that I got married as if it happened yesterday. But where 50 years went, I don't know. I can't tell you where the past almost 23 years have gone. I don't know where they've gone. I've turned around twice and they're gone. But our text in Isaiah 54, it reminds us God is different than we are. He is not like us. He doesn't think like us. He doesn't act like us. Aren't you glad that that the paths upon which He walks, aren't you glad that He walks upon mercy and truth? Oh, God is always truth. God is always merciful. Those of us that believe, oh God, shed abroad His mercy upon us. Just like that old publican in Luke's gospel account. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And you know, God, I am convinced, has given His people the greatest example that He could have ever given us to demonstrate that His thoughts are not like ours. His ways are not like ours. Oh, who in the world would have ever chosen Israel? I wouldn't have. You wouldn't have. Nobody would have. Because of all the people in the world, they were the fewest in number. They were so insignificant. And yet God chose them. Who would have ever thought that God would have chosen me? Me! Who would have ever thought that God would have chosen you? But He did. And I'm confident that you're like me. I'm glad He did. Oh, I'm so glad He included me. Not because He didn't choose me because I'm tall, or because I'm smart, or because I'm good looking, or because I would have something to add to Him. I'll tell you what, you're made of the same stuff I'm made of. He chose you, He chose me for reasons known only unto Himself. He didn't tell me. I'm confident He didn't tell you. But He chose us, and some way, somehow, He's going to get glory out of everything He's ever done. But you know, I am convinced that there's nothing as important to the Father as His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, and He wanted everybody to know, "My Son! Oh, He's coming! He's coming." And I'm so glad He came. I'm so glad He's coming again. Oh, I'm so glad. There's coming a time when He's going to sit up on His own throne. I'm so glad. I am. But nothing is more important to the Father than His Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ ought to be important to you and to me as well. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Listen to Paul as he sat there in prison, as he wrote Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And Jesus Christ is in view. He's on Paul's mind. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I'm so thankful. And in the past months, I've lost so much, and so have you. But something we haven't lost. A little thing, if you can call it little, but a little thing called eternal life. That we will never, ever lose it. That's something that no one or nothing can ever take away from you that believe, nor me. Never take it away. And then listen, as Paul continued talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image. Now remember that word. That word is icon. That's where we get the English word icon from. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. This universe, this planet, everything, so long as it serves God's purpose, is going to remain intact. Because He holds everything together. Tell me that the Son, S-O-N, capital S-O-N, that Jesus Christ is not most important to the Father. Oh, He ought to be most important to you and me as well. And down through the centuries, God prepared His people through the prophets. Messiah, He's coming. Ready or not, He's coming. Everything that I've said will come to pass. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful. And He is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Messiah. We're talking about Messiah. Mm-hmm. The Prince of Peace. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came into the world the first time. I am so glad that He is coming again. And if I can add the word soon, I'm so glad that with our very eyes, those that believe will see Him. We're going to see Him in all of His glory, in all of His power, in all of His majesty, the One whose face outshines the noonday sun. And I'm so glad that Paul used the word icon. Everybody knows what an icon is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you click on the icon and the program comes up. If you see the Son, you have seen the Father, for Jesus says the Father and I are one. But what about God's thoughts? What about God's ways? They're not like ours. And it's true, I have been born again. It's true that those of you that believe have been born again. That's so true. But you know what? The best part about me is Jesus Christ. The best part about you is Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, I'm just like anybody else. So are you. I mean, we want the best. We want the biggest. And I don't know about you, but I want it right now. I'm patient. Right now, though. And recently, and I mean just recently, I witnessed what before I would have thought was an impossible situation. Impossible. Lord, there's no way. There's no way. But I witnessed God doing the impossible. I saw God do what could never have been done. I saw it. I know the details. I'm not there yet. Neither are you. But listen to Isaiah chapter 54. We haven't forgotten Isaiah chapter 54. Because the text that was read at the outset is based on Isaiah 54. Listen to verse 1. As God, through Isaiah the prophet, spoke to His people Israel. His people didn't understand Almighty God. They didn't understand that God, your thoughts, God, your ways are not like ours. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. And then in verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them be stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Israel, I want you to know something. Something in the future is going to happen. It'll happen because I said so. And God, as I've already alluded to, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He is talking to Israel. And remember two things. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And as I said before, who in the world would ever have chosen Israel? Israel, are you listening? Who would have ever chosen you? All you are so insignificant to the nations. You are small. Who would have ever thought that God would have chosen you? Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. The Lord, all capitalized. Jehovah, the Lord. And Moses is talking to Israel after having wandered in the desert 40 years. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. That's not why God chose you. For ye were the fewest of all people. Mm-hmm. but because the Lord loved you. And because he would keep the oath he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and or from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Who would ever have thought that he would have chosen Israel? Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought God would have chosen me? Who would have thought it? But he did. He did. Because God doesn't act like a man. God doesn't think like a man. And I'm convinced that all God wants is for his folks to trust him. Listen to Isaiah 54, verse 4 and following. Fear not. Now he is still talking to Israel. Israel, don't be afraid. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of the youth, of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. Israel, there's coming a time when you're not going to remember what you did way back. There's going to come a time that you're not going to remember your widowhood. And I am convinced that when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven to the earth, you know, the city that's 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high, that's a large place. The city that has 12 gates, and over each of the gates is one of the names of the tribes of Israel. A city that has 12 foundations, and upon each of the foundations is the name of one of the apostles. I am convinced that the wife of Jehovah and that the wife of Jesus Christ will one day dwell in that city that shall come down from heaven. All folks can go in and out. That's not an issue. But Jehovah's bride, Israel, shall live there. The Lord's bride shall dwell there. And then Isaiah 54 and verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will. Now that sounds pretty certain to me. Yeah. But with great mercies will I gather thee. And then in verse 8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. God is talking to Israel. but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Oh, there are those that would say, oh God, God has given up Israel. He's given up the Jews. They had opportunity, but they blew it. They didn't receive Jesus Christ. What about when God says, I will save a remnant of the house of Israel? What about that? What about this? In Romans chapter 11 and the first part of verse 1, Paul addressed that issue. Folks today, somehow, they seem to miss what Paul stressed. And in Romans 11 and in the first part of the first verse, I say then, Paul the apostle that was saved on the road to Damascus by Jesus Christ Himself. I say then, hath God cast away His people? Has God cast away Israel? Is God through with Israel? Is He? Well, they had opportunity, but they blew it. Now, it belonged to the church, is what I hear. But what does Paul say? Hath God cast away His people, Israel? Question mark. Has He? God forbid. God didn't do it. God didn't say that. What God said is that everything that comes from my mouth, it shall come to pass. There's coming a time that God will save a remnant of the house of Israel. Premillennial? Yeah. I'm afraid that's what we are. That's all I've ever been. That's all I'll ever be. As a matter of fact, listen to what else Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with some and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. You know what? I'm a Gentile. I have a suspicion you are a Gentile too. 12 gates, 12 foundation. But you know what? I was grafted in the true vine. Israel was of the olive tree. I was from the wild olive tree. I was grafted in. You were grafted in. What if God takes some of the natural branches and takes them out for a time? God is God. He can do what He wants to. I'm not going to tell God what He can or what He can't do. I don't think He's going to listen to you or anybody else. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. But guess what? I am preserved. You are preserved. There's no way that He's going to break us off and cast us aside. No way. No way, Jose. No way. God will again, when it pleases Him, graft in the natural branches. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail. Severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, and God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to the nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be of the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? If God saved you, and He did, and I'm thankful. With God, nothing's impossible. God can save Israel too. And then in verse 26, and so all Israel. Well, in that day, there's just going to be that remnant. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come some out of Zion. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Oh, I'm so glad that His thoughts, that His ways are not like mine. I can better understand why David the king, when he sinned and he numbered his army, and God told him, boy, you have a choice. And if my memory serves me correctly, there were three different options. And David chose the last. You can go 3 months and do this, or you can go whatever. But he chose the last. God, I'm choosing you. You do what you think's right. You bring forth divine judgment. Why? Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I'm so glad that God is so different. Oh, but He's just. And listen to Isaiah 54 verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Every time you see a rainbow in the sky, think about God and His faithfulness. God was saying to Noah, see that bow? See that rainbow in the sky? Never. Now it may flood, and it will flood in specific areas. August 13 of 2016, it flooded here. I think we all know about that. But God said, it will never, the floodwaters of Noah will never again cover the earth. And from that day to this, or on, never again. And this is what this is all about. It's about God's faithfulness. God is faithful. Israel! Understand, in the latter days, get ready. Enlarge your tent. It's coming. It's coming. Why? Because God said it. He did. Mm-hmm. He said it. Folks, there is much, much more to be said. But understand, God is faithful. Everything that He's promised to me, everything that He's promised to you, God will be faithful. God will keep His Word. His Word that comes from His mouth will accomplish everything that God has sent it. It will. You and I may not believe it. You and I may not act like it. Israel didn't always believe it. Israel didn't always act like it. But God said, you know what? I love you. I will keep the covenant that I have made with your fathers. Everything that pertains to you, everything that pertains to me, David the psalmist said, I will perform it. I will not forsake the work of my hands. God is not going to forsake Israel. God is not going to forsake you, nor will He forsake me. Because He's faithful. He doesn't think, He doesn't act like you or me. But you know what? He's faithful. Why don't you stand? Why don't you bow your head? And let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, oh Father, You are so wonderful. You really are. And Father, there is no one like You. Father, You have said that repeatedly in Your Word. Thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You for everything that You've done for me. Thank You. Thank You most of all, Father, that I can call You Father. Oh, that's so important to me. It really is. Father, today, Father, our minds turn to the needs of Your people. Father, whatever need they have, oh Father, may they turn to you. May I turn to you. And those without Christ, Father, there's only one person that they can turn to for life everlasting, and that is Jesus the Christ. Oh, Father, I pray that you lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for everything. Oh, you've done so much. I believe you, Lord. I really trust you. Father, we all do. But Father, help us. Oh God, help us in our unbelief. And Father, I'm so thankful that your thoughts, that your ways are not like ours. Father, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. Charlie, would you come and lead us in a time of invitation, please?